the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have all board members present and Superintendent Davis and Business Administrator Jared Black. We will begin with the consent agenda, the warrants and the minutes from July 2016 meeting and the financial reports for July 2016. I think we do have a error in the minutes that we need to amend. So the committees that, committee assignments, Marie needs to be on the Sage testing instead of Sam. So I think that's a correction there. Are there any other questions about the financial reports or the warrants?
I move that we approve them as they have been presented with the correction mentioned.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have names for approval and yeah, let's go to that one.
Oh, it's been a really busy summer.
Amen.
Amen.
In a lot of ways, but certainly with personnel. I do have several names to present to the board for your consideration for approval. Melissa Jensen, Canyon View Junior High 3-hour resource aide. Amanda Abeglin, Canyon View Junior High half-day classroom aide. Maquette Taney, Cottonwood Elementary self-contained resource teacher. Casey Jo Reed in transportation. She will be working with the special needs students and also is going to be a future replacement driver. Rayola Finster, also in transportation, bus route from Castledale to San Rafael. And Chandler Peacock, Emory High School Auto. This is a 50-50 share on salary and benefits with Utah State University Eastern. Mm-hmm. He has 6 classes, 3 of those will be concurrent enrollment. So we're happy to have him on board. He has all of his certifications completed, taught all last year as a long-term sub, so it was like a long internship for that student teaching, but he did a great job.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So I'd like you to consider those, and then I have one more.
Any discussion on that?
I move that we approve those.
Did he say Crosby?
No, but that's because we're going to do that.
That's the one more?
Yeah.
Okay. You moved? I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, and the next one is Crosby Hatt, and that will be at Green River High School music and fine arts teacher. And I believe we have one abstention for that.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll abstain.
I move that we accept that recommendation for name for approval.
I'll second
that. All in favor?
Of course.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And I did put at the bottom of that a note about just how fluid the summer has been with personnel.
I see that.
But we are down to one teaching position left unfilled at Canyon View. We do have applicants. That's for English Language Arts. We're still looking for resource teacher at Green River High School. We have several aid positions open and one half-day custodial position open. So we are hoping to have this all done by the
start. Did you say you had an application for the English teacher? I'm sorry.
We have several.
Several.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
Good. Okay.
So, and I believe that is Friday. We're going to interview for that. So.
Okay. Approval of job descriptions.
I'll take this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
I put on the table for each of you a copy of the second one.
Mm-hmm.
which I just emailed this morning. I apologize for that, but we received it late. And so we have two job descriptions. One is essentially for the same position that we've always had in preschool. But a few months ago, when John Crawford was still with us, and he and Heather kind of started a discussion about reorganizing the positions in the preschool program to have a lead teacher in each classroom, and then essentially non-lead teachers. They would both be educational assistants or aides, but one would be at a higher pay level than the other and would have supervisory responsibilities and lead teacher responsibilities within each classroom. So these are the two job descriptions that would differentiate that. The first one that came with your packet was for the lead teacher, and then the one that I just gave you a copy of today was for the assist teacher. And as far as wage difference, the proposal would be to have the lead teacher at pay grade 6, and currently all of the aides in the program are at 4. So those who are selected as lead teachers, which would be at 3 schools, 4?
4.
How many do we have preschools at? 4? Okay. So we would have likely four lead teachers would be moved to pay grade 6 with kind of the additional supervisory responsibility. As far as salary impact, preschool runs within its own budget. It doesn't mingle with other district funds, and it's very solvent. The salary impact would be minimal, maybe $8,000 to $10,000, and the program can absorb that without any concern on an ongoing basis. Just assuming you probably wanted to know about that. Ryan, is there anything you want to add?
I think with the grade 6 versus 4, there is accountability, there's consistency, and it's tied to lesson plans and the core curriculum that they have to do. I'm completely on board. The only thing we were waiting on was to make sure that the funding was as we thought it was, and that came through. So I want it this way. I think it's best.
Any questions?
How is it going to, be hard? Is there somebody that's kind of leading out in each school anyway? Or is the selection process going to be difficult?
So we've done it completely open rather than internal. It is open application. Those that are interested internally still have to apply.
Okay.
A lot of interest.
Great.
Some of them seem pretty clear cut, but we're waiting to see who comes in. Shouldn't be more than one school where take a little longer to determine that, but there's definitely quality candidates out there. It should be pretty easy.
Okay, good. As long as everybody has the same ability to apply for that, so that's good.
My one question on these, both of these policies is the same. Under qualifications education, it specifies graduation from high school past the ETS Parapro assessment test, and then says an equivalent combination of education and experience may be considered. I almost wonder the way that's worded, if it looks like, I wonder if it would be worded better to say additionally an equivalent combination of education and experience could be considered, so that it's not able to be misunderstood that a graduation from high school and passing of that test is not necessary.
Is not necessary for all.
Just the way it's written.
The way it's written, I think that could be read into it.
I think that's a good.
I think that clarifies it.
Would that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
By saying it how?
If we just leave the wording on the first two sentences the same, and then just say additionally, comma, an equivalent combination of education and experience may be considered. I think that just defines that those first two are definite qualifications.
I think that's a good plan.
And then I believe that in that bottom paragraph, 3 to 5 year olds should say who rather than that, but those are the only things I've changed.
Great.
Just looking on one of them, it does say who.
Oh, does it?
And the other one says that, so we'll change that to who.
Good job, Bree.
Yeah, I hate it when I'm a bat.
We'd like people to be who's.
That's right, that's not, not very funny.
With those changes, I'd move that we accept those job descriptions as they've been presented.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, any opposed? We have asbestos containing materials, annual notification to public.
I think you're used to this as a board, so.
Yeah, yeah, you got it.
Since we don't have a truth and taxation hearing tonight, we'll spend some extra time on our asbestos notification.
Okay.
You'll read slowly.
Okay.
I think mainly what needs to be said is that the board has received a copy of the notification.
Right.
This is published in the newspaper, as required, and the maintenance department has taken care of that. For all of your information, we do maintain very detailed and thorough asbestos manuals for each facility in the school district. And our maintenance staff are certified in that every year, and it actually takes, they go to a multiple day training and have assessments, and it's quite the deal. But we are compliant with all of that, and this notice will be published in the Emory County Progress.
Great. Okay.
No action.
Okay, perfect. Okay, let's go to the business administrator's report then.
Okay, a couple of things. Superintendent just handed me this, but this is our official notification, and we mentioned it briefly earlier. But we were very happy to have restored preschool funding at our full level. Still not totally sure how or why things happened the way they did, but we were restored $177,000 in funding, which gets us back to where that program is normally at.
That's great.
And we'll make sure in our submission for our December 1st count that it's good and correct.
Okay.
So we don't deal with that again. And then the second thing I wanted to let the board know about is we have just received and we're putting into our schools, at least the secondary schools in the district office and one or two elementaries, new credit card machines. They're called a Clover Mini. It's kind of a touch screen system. You might have seen them at restaurants in the last year or so. They're kind of the new thing. But so parents coming in to pay fees or whatever can easily make a payment with a card. It's actually a good, in an accounting sense, it's a good thing because we'll be taking less cash, and whenever you take cash, there's more risk of theft and so forth. And so if you want to go out after at the front desk, we were just setting ours up.
What did you call it?
It's called a Clover Mini.
Clover Mini.
And they're tied right into our bank accounts, so when a transaction's made, it goes
right into
the account.
So do you have to pay credit card fees on it, though?
We do. But most of our secondaries, I'd say all, in fact, felt that the accessibility would mean they'll actually have
more payments.
That would cover the fees, or at least a good part of them. And the convenience for the parents is, I think, well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fees with this particular setup were lower than any other that we found, so I feel good about it. But they're nifty little machines, so. We're excited to have them, but you know, the parents asking. Well, it's a complicated structure. But
oh, no.
So they call it exchange, which is the rate that it depends on the card you're using. Visa, MasterCard,
mm-hmm.
American Express all have a different rate called exchange. It's usually between 1.75% and 2.5%.
Okay.
Plus 10 cents per transaction. Mm-hmm. So it varies on the card, but.
Okay.
But all of the account fees and everything have been waived for us because we're a public entity. And so that there are no fees besides that.
That's good. Okay.
If you hear about them, if you're asked, that'll be a new feature.
That's nice to be aware.
So will they all be up and going by the first day of school?
I think most of them are already up and going.
And each of the schools.
Well, registration, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, that'll be helpful.
Yeah, Canyon View was our, Canyon View was our trial, and they had theirs ready for registration and.
Good.
From what I've heard, that there maybe were some issues with other aspects of registration, but the credit card machine itself was fine.
It's good.
So.
We're a big time.
We're modern, aren't we?
Big time, yeah.
Very, touchscreen, yeah.
It even takes a card with a chip on it.
Oh, very well.
Oh, wow.
We are big time.
Gracious.
Okay, thank you, Jared. Superintendent's report?
Yes, a bit of good news. Our district has been awarded a $178,000 STEM grant.
Wow.
It is a one-year pilot program. The grant was written for 3 years, however, but the STEM Action Center will be watching Emory District. It is unique to rural areas, so they're very interested to see how this works out. It is primarily geared towards computer programming and computer coding, but it's also K through 12, so it includes a huge robotics program.
Wow.
And it starts with kindergarten. It includes after school robotics clubs on elementary, middle school, and secondary or high school level. Field trips, assemblies. We also have a coding class that's going to be taught at Emory High School. Eric Mortensen will be teaching that class, facilitating that class, and it will cover his expenses. It's the beginning of some very, very big things in STEM education in our district.
That's great.
I commend Ashley for the work that she put into this. She had initiated this project 3 years ago and was told to pull her grant, and we did, and it didn't turn out in our favor, so I asked her to redo it. She did it, and we're going independent on this one, so kudos to her, and good things for our district.
Yeah, that's super.
Some of the enclosures, information from the CDC on the Zika virus. I will pass this on to principals in our administrative council meeting. Also supervisors, especially maintenance. You know, it's not a big deal here now, but we don't know where this is going to go. So we want to be proactive on it. So does the CDC and the State Health Department. There has been one death associated to the Zika virus in Utah, but we need to be prepared. It's the preparation is minimal. It's things that you would do anyway.
Common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, common sense things. I'd also point out a letter of acknowledgement from the Utah High School Activity Association indicating that both Green River High School and Emory High School were awarded the Raise the Bar achievement for the last school year. In order to win that award, there are about a dozen requirements that need to be met during the course of the school year, all related to sportsmanship. Including orientations with your student body, sportsmanship pledge, sportsmanship policies for your school, reading sportsmanship announcements at activities, having zero ejections, which was also pointed out. Both these schools had zero coach or player ejections. I don't know for sure about Green River. This is the Emory High has won this award every year. I assume Green River has as well.
I think we have too.
And there are banners in gymnasiums at both schools with big gold stars for each year. So that's something to be proud of.
Absolutely.
I also included our opening institute program in your packet. That will be a week from Tuesday.
be there.
Down a little bit further, just to update you on these committees that you agreed to participate on in our last meeting. The Future Ready Leadership Planning Team, which is a long name for our technology committee, we have scheduled August 30th at 3:30. I hope that works for you, Roy.
Yeah.
We have been working on this. It is labor intensive. It is $60,000, maybe up to $70,000 technology grant this school year, but it is a 3-year plan. So we're working on establishing a district-wide technology plan and activating it this school year. It will require a lot of work to plow through the red tape to get to that point, though. And also part of it is a survey, so if you get an email about taking a technology survey, if you would take a little while and take a look at that, we'd appreciate it. The District Calendar Committee, I don't have a date on that, Julie, but we will. I am meeting with Neil on Friday to discuss setting up the committee and some possible dates for our first committee meeting to discuss the 3-year calendar, so I'll let you know as soon as that. And the SAGE testing committee, also this is based on House Bill 200, which allows school boards to exempt 11th graders from the SAGE. And I think I mentioned in the last meeting, we probably won't get going on that until end of September or end of October, so I'll let you know about that. And then, Laura, we've got you for the opening institute.
I'll be there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And just a couple of notes. At the July Utah School Superintendent Association meeting, our new state superintendent of public instruction, Sydney Dixon, was there for both days, and she presented her vision of education in Utah, which I found to be very enlightening and refreshing because it is right in line, I think, with what our district is trying to do. I am going to share her remarks, her vision, in that opening institute in a presentation for our teachers. I also talked to Sydney and introduced myself and invited her to come to Emory County School District. She is going to be making a tour of some of the districts this fall, so hopefully she can take a trip out here to see us. The clarification on the fundraising application procedures. Whenever we have a fundraiser in the district, we ask the sponsors to fill out a fundraising application form. This goes to the principal for approval. If the principal approves it, then it's faxed over to me. And what Kirk told me when I was the principal is that the board wanted to know what fundraisers were taking place in the district. I want you to know that I'm keeping these. I don't know that we need to review them, but I do have them on file in my office if at any time you want to come and see them. If you do want to review them in a board meeting or whatever, I'd be happy to do that as well. Because
so what kind of questions are on there?
It has the name of the school. It asks if this fundraising activity is defined in our policy JJE or if it's something else. That's just a checkbox. The organization, the one I'm looking at, is Emory High Drill Team. The advisor, purpose of the fundraising activity, why they are holding it. Fundraising activities, a description of it. How will the students be involved? a description of that, when it begins, when it is anticipated that the activity or the fundraiser will end, and then anticipated revenues, targeted amount of money that they hope to raise. There's space here for any comments. And then the advisor signs it, the principal, if he's okay with it, will sign it. If the amount that they are targeting is over $2,500, then superintendent needs to approve it, sign it. And if it is a targeted amount above $10,000, then board president needs to sign it. And there is one in here that goes up to $10,000. You won't need to sign it because it didn't go over unless it does go over, but that's the football team is selling coupons.
Oh, the coupon.
Yeah.
Book.
So they hope to raise as much as $10,000. So.
So is there a limit on how many fundraisers each group can do? Or they can
the policy
do?
Is more limiting on the elementary level.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to door-to-door sales.
That was one of the reasons I think that we were concerned. There's so many kids that
yeah.
were going out and going door-to-door, little kids.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. On the secondary level, really, there aren't any restrictions. It is a way for these programs, especially the non-gated programs, to sustain themselves.
I know the soccer, they did the lamb fry, and one of the soccer team members was telling me they earned $6,000 the first week.
Yeah.
So
really?
That's a big help to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I don't know
Absolutely.
What the second week, or if he knew all of the, but I thought that's significant for them, and you know, the kids were involved doing
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah, it gives them ownership of
yeah,
the program.
I think yes, I thought it was
and
a
that
good
makes
thing.
A difference.
In
mm-hmm.
a lot of ways, it's a community service as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah, that was a community service to have those kids there. So,
I'll continue to do that.
Okay.
If
okay.
at any time you have questions, you could call and ask me. I'm going to talk to the principals about that in our meeting next week and remind them of the procedure. Most of them are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Most
yeah.
of these come out of the high school, of course. But,
right.
And then just a reminder that the USBA conference coming up in January at Little American Salt Lake, at that superintendent's conference, the leadership suggested that we get going on that because apparently it fills up and we don't want to miss out. But kind of check your calendars, and in future meeting, we'll need to get a list.
We're here,
of
Julie.
And election results.
If we're here, yeah.
I haven't lost my weight from the last one.
Sounds like a good time. and that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any public comments? Okay. Any,
do your duty.
Just say something.
Any closed meeting items?
I don't have any.
Well, then we have
oh my gracious.
Need a,
go watch
29 minutes.
A motion to adjourn then. I will not be here, I don't think. Is the first, when is the September meeting? I don't know if that's
impactful. It'll be in about 3 weeks.
It seems like it's the
first Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I'm going to be in California on grandma duty, so just so
grandma
you know.
Duty.
I think
Cleveland Elementary. I don't know
oh, thank you for...
Okay, let's see here. The 7th, so 4 weeks.
When, oh, well, let's see. When is Labor Day then?
The 5th.
Oh, yeah, that's the week I will be going.
Weekend.
I was going to be gone shopping duty.
Oh, shopping duty.
Well,
that's
to be
don't
three
get
us.
That.
We need three,
no,
four,
I'll
four.
Be there. I'll take
well, I was just making sure there's going to be enough here and we'll be fine.
So
fine without me.
We'll have fun.
It's the 7th?
Oh,
it's the 7th, yeah,
oh,
Cleveland Elementary.
Step down my stairs, it was slick. And I got a hematoma on it, so I have to keep it wrapped or it keeps filling up.
Did you do a motion?
Let's do a motion.
I move we go home.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Kay.
There are some refreshments.
Thank you very much.
Terrific, thank you.
Yeah. So if there's anything.
17 minutes is my record.
All of that.
I looked at the calendar and.
So if there's anything that I need to be aware of, you need input, just let me know.
Tell me again when it is.
I hate to do that, but.
Did I need to ask for memory, see if you remember? I had asked you a while ago about who might serve on the district audit committee. We needed two board members. And I know two or three of you mentioned that you would, but we never formalized that. Do any of you remember if you volunteered?
Audit? I think I probably did, but.
I think I probably did too. It depends on when it is.
When is it?
Hey, Kim.
Bye, Kim.
Bye, thanks, Kim.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
It would be infrequent.
I think I volunteered, but.
So why infrequent? Like just?
You don't have to.
Well, the audit committee can meet as regularly as you want, but I would anticipate that it would be perhaps a quick meeting before each board meeting or even quarterly before each, before the board meeting.
That would be good.
And then.
I'm on the insurance committee. I'll let one of you two do that.
And then a meeting with the auditors probably when they come next month.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay, looks like Julie and I.
Unless you want to switch and do the insurance.
We might not be here, but we'll do it while we're here.
That's the most depressing thing I'm here.
Okay.
And I have to get two or three community members as well to be on that with you, but I don't think it's a large.
Who are you coming out this to learn?
So maybe like 6:30 before board meeting.
I thought you were trying to slip the heart of it.
I have to remind me, but I can do it.
Yeah, me too, but my boss is pretty lenient.
Your boss can be convinced.
That's nice. Oh, yeah.
Yours what?
Mine's a real turd.